feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seemed to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm your host, Jack Rathbone, and I'm with Will Dubay and Grant James again to discuss Chelsea's latest result, a 6-0 win in the Carabao Cup against Barnsley. We're going to dive straight into it. Will, there's only one place to start, really, and that's Kai Havertz scoring his first goals for Chelsea, his first senior hat-trick. The perfect night, really.
Yeah, shaky start. I think Barnsley deserve a lot of credit. They started really well, pressed us really high. We couldn't really build out from the back and had a real pre-season vibe to it again. But there eventually were a lot of positives, I think, especially in the second half, and Havertz probably being the main one. I think there's been question marks and a lot of questions posed to Frank about his best position, his best role, and even questions posed to him about his best role, and he said number 10. And we saw him, I think when the team sheet came out, there were a few moans and groans because I think people thought that he might be wide again and Mason Mount would be through the middle. But I think Mason Mount's proving that he can kind of fit in anywhere at the moment. He played wide on the left and Havertz played through the middle as a 10 behind Tammy. And they worked really well together. Obviously, Tammy got 3 assists and a goal, or 2.5 assists. And it worked really well. I think you saw exactly what Havertz does really well. Arrives late in the box, works off of the front man really well, runs in behind them. A lot of the time, Tammy was dropping in deeper and Havertz was running beyond. He's just a really intelligent player, just times his runs into the box really well, really cool when he gets in good positions. And that'll obviously do loads for his confidence and hopefully can continue it at the weekend.
Yeah, I think that's right. I really enjoyed the shape of the team. I think obviously it was a bit of a slow start, I think. Barnsley, quite unfortunate really, not to score, let alone maybe be level or even ahead at one point. They certainly matched Chelsea in the shot department for a large part of this game. And I think that centre-back pairing, Thiago Silva in his debut with Tomori, obviously only just came back into the side. Both of them sort of in and around 6 foot. So you're lacking a little bit of height there, I think, as a partnership. And I think they sort of capitalised somewhat, Barnsley, with just a lack of understanding. But after a while, I was really impressed with the shape in terms of Barkley. I thought he moved it really nicely. The way that he was able to sort of sweep the ball between the left centre-back and the left-back for Barnsley, finding Hudson-Odoi at times, that was really impressive. One of the other things that, I mean, can't be ignored either is Willy Caballero in goal. Really, really positive display. What you expect from him, no drama, no negativity spreading around the side, but also some absolutely top saves. I saw the shot from Woodrow, really clever finish from him, the way that he sort of just lifted it from so far out, knowing that Caballero was slightly off his line, given Barnsley intercepted sort of quite high up the pitch. But yeah, Caballero, he was on it in a second, moved his feet really nicely. So I think that was really good. And I think you look at the hunger of the squad. I think you see Giroud coming on, looked desperate to get a goal. I also thought Emerson, surprisingly, was a pretty good performance and somehow ended up playing almost wherever he liked. He was in the final third at the end. What did you make of just the all-round sort of hunger for places in the team, Will?
I think as shaky as the first half was, I thought it was really impressive, especially with no crowd, how we kept the intensity going literally right up until the last minute. Everyone was bombing forward. And I think Grant alluded to it in the last episode. I think Frank is good at getting a response from the players, when he feels like things are getting a bit flat, a bit complacent, he's able to get a response. And you saw that tonight, I think. It was sloppy, slow start, but eventually when we sort of felt our way into the game in the second half, we were moving the ball really quickly, looking forward really quickly. Like you say, Barkley, Kovacic, once they were afforded a little bit more time in the second half, were really positive with their passing. I thought Tomori was really positive with his passing out from the back. And I thought him and Thiago Silva worked quite nicely at times. I think Thiago Silva obviously likes to stay behind the ball, stay quite deep. But it allows Tomori to go and be aggressive and follow his man into midfield and sort of snap at his heels. So that worked quite well. I think Mason Mount, for the fact that Havertz got three goals and Tammy got three assists and played really well, I think Mason Mount's probably the best player. And I know that'll probably upset some. It's strange that he seems to divide our fan base. I think he was just really good again. I think quality on the ball, drawing players in, popping shots off, combining with players, getting in the box, tracking back, pressing high. I mean, I don't really know what's not to like about Mason Mount. And I think, to be honest with you, I think he's going to end up playing about 50 games this season. I think he's just going to be, especially with Willian going, I think he's just going to provide that balance in the attacking end of the pitch that you require. I think the worrying thing still is, despite the fact that the midfield players played quite well in the second half, once Barnsley dropped off, like I say, the balance just isn't there. You had Kovacic playing as the deepest midfielder, Barkley kind of shuttling back and forth from that deeper position. And we still don't really have a natural number six, a natural defensive midfielder that can defend in transition and sort of have some positional sense once you're set back in shape. In the first half, that Kovacic and Barkley were constantly losing runners, not communicating, not passing players on to defenders. It's just not in their locker to do that. So I think that's still a worry. I'd like to see us. I'm probably being greedy, but I'd like to see us go into the market for a player like that, even if it's not Declan Rice. I still think there's potentially we could maybe look at someone as a bit of a stopgap, or even someone that, you know, we take a bit of a punt on at a lower fee, and if it doesn't quite work out, they sort of enter the loan system, as it were. But I think we do need that profile of player before the window closes.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was a largely positive performance, but you are right in terms of the way that Barnsley played sort of lended itself towards all those attacking players almost filling their boots as such. It became a bit of a basketball game at times. And I think also in the second half, you just saw Barnsley's legs just completely go. So just large gaps, very easily exposed by Chelsea in the way they moved it around. Grant, if I could throw it to you, in terms of our concerns about the squad makeup and the lack of depth in certain areas, the too much depth in others, you saw Thiago and Havertz really enjoy themselves tonight. You saw Chilwell come off the bench for his debut. How much do you think this squad can sort of solve itself by a few players coming into form in terms of making Lampard's decision about what his best 11 will be? How much do you think form can play a part, and how much do you think this squad just needs a little bit of surgery, both the outs crucially, as well as maybe one or two more ins?
Yeah, I think tonight the fact that so many players played well was quite good for Lampard, because he's a bit indecisive about the squad. You know, I think if Tomori had an off game, then maybe he's rethinking again. Does he want him to be in those four centre-backs? Can he trust him? He had a good, solid performance. Emerson playing is probably a slight surprise that he's clearly the third choice left-back. Although we did say earlier, you know, maybe if there is some interest in Alonso, we might take that money and keep Emerson, because there isn't a big market for Emerson at the moment. So the fact that he played okay, maybe put him in the shop window, maybe Emerson either put him in the shop window or maybe show Lampard, you know, he could be the second choice if there is an offer for Alonso. We have seen Conte linked with Alonso at Inter as he collects wing backs. And I think also tonight, you know, Abraham, Mount and Tomori all had the quarantine during preseason, so they actually missed two weeks of preseason. Plus, us, you know, we finished our season 2 weeks later than many other teams, so they really needed the minutes tonight. I wasn't sure Mount would play, but I think actually watching his performance, he seems to be a lot more match fit now. Like having another game really seems to have done him good. And also the other thing as well, from I think even from the Brighton game, I said this, that Mount on the wing, I think he'll be much better there in home games on a slightly tighter pitch where he can be closer. He can sort of come inside and combine a bit more. But also when he's got a quicker left back like Emerson or Chilwell, who's going to underlap and overlap at speed, it just takes men away and gives them a bit more speed. A bit more space to come inside and actually influence the game. Whereas Alonso, you know, often slows the game down. The ball goes to him. You know, he goes back. You know, it's not really the sort of player you can link up with the quick 1-2s, just because he hasn't got that speed off the mark. And even Chilwell coming on, you can see him just like take his first touch and go past players with his speed. So that little cameo from Chilwell, I think, is very promising. I think this is mostly positive tonight. You know, Havertz playing just over an hour. Thiago Silva just over an hour. It's quite interesting that Silva played left centre back. I wonder if that might mean that he's going to play Zuma and Tomori at the weekend, just because you'd think if it's going to be Zuma and Silva at the weekend that you'd want to play Silva on the right tonight, sort of in preparation for that, seeing as Zuma sort of has that left centre back seemingly sort of locked down as a position he prefers. But I think mostly positives tonight, even if with the wide open game, there's plenty of good things. And Barkley was good. I mean, you know, playing in a deeper role, we've so short in that area, there is really a gap for someone to put their hand up and take it. And with, you know, it's been a long time since Ruben Loftus-Cheek played there. I thought he might play there tonight and maybe do okay and sort of make a sort of a niche in the squad for himself, because there's, you know, there's not really a spot for him for the forward. But I think Barkley might have taken that chance, and now Ruben might be, I think he might have to consider heading off on loan. And I think the club might have to look at that. If he's not match fit enough to be trusted tonight, it's hard to see where he's going to get his games.
Yeah, I think you're right about Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I've said it for a week or so now, and I've been a fan of Barkley's. I think he's got his head down. He's proven himself in a variety of roles, and I think he just shows that he can be trusted. And certainly, he won't disrupt the environment if he's not playing. He'll come in and hopefully take his chances when they come. So I thought that was a real positive. But in terms of like maybe not a negative, but almost still a question mark, you look at two performances tonight. One, which is less concerning just in terms of a pure fitness point of view. And I thought Azpilicueta had quite an average game. I thought Barnsley had a little bit of joy. Certainly advancing down the right side, which obviously wasn't his fault, but in terms of their delivery, it ended up at the back post somewhat regularly, and Azpilicueta was sort of sleeping a little bit. I found Ludwig for Barnsley seemed to have some joy at just swinging the ball across that 6-yard box, and you'd hope a partnership like Tomori and Silva, when they're fully up to speed, would start cutting off that supply. But when it was sort of swinging across, you saw Azpilicueta maybe tucking in a little bit too much, maybe anticipating some mistakes from his centre backs, and that sort of left a lot of space for Barnsley to expose right at the back post. But the other one was obviously Hudson-Odoi. He got his start tonight, and you'd expect in a 6-0 that he'd also be sort of solving his not just his form, but any sort of doubts over his importance to the team. And he's quite a high production type of forward and winger. He usually supplies plenty of assists and goals, but yeah, not so much tonight. And he missed a one-on-one, didn't he, very early on. So, Will, how do you assess those two sort of coming back in tonight and moving forward? How quickly do you see them getting more chances? Presumably Azpilicueta much sooner than Hudson-Odoi.
I wasn't quite as disheartened by Aspie's performance as maybe you are. I think he looked really up for it. I think you can tell he's not happy about Reece James, you know, maybe getting a few plaudits for that, for the winning goal at Brighton. And I think he's up for the fight. I think it was probably, I think you're right. He didn't look quite himself, but I think that's probably down to fitness and just a little bit of sharpness. He's, you know, he's in pre-season really. But that's going to be interesting, that battle, because I think it's going to become a lot closer. Obviously, James, as we said, I think his development's really going to kick on this year. So, but Aspie won't be, you know, he won't go down without a fight, as we know. But in terms of Callum, I don't know. I mean, I think there was good and bad things. I think he lost his confidence early on by not putting that that chance away, and he couldn't do a thing right on the ball in the first half. But second half, he just decided to keep it simple. He just, you know, which I think it's always the right approach. And anyone who's played football at any level, if you're having a stinker, you just try and feel your way back into the game. One touch, two touch, keep it ticking over. And his work rate was brilliant. And I think that's probably been the criticism that's been consistently aimed at him, is the tracking back, the, you know, being aware of the press, you know, when you're laying traps wide, you know, is he switched on? Is he getting there? Is he timing his pressing right? Is he angling his body right? And he did all of that tonight. And when the game, for a player, for an attacking player, when the game's not going for them with the ball, a lot of the time they can show a bad attitude and kind of switch off defensively, but he didn't at all. So I think that would have really pleased Frank. And I thought that was a real positive side to it, because we know what he can do on the ball. That's not really as much of a question mark as the other side. So tonight, really, I think in a way it was more important that he showed the other side of the game, and he definitely did. So I was really pleased with his attitude, Tomori's attitude, and Tammy's attitude. I think you can see why we churn out so many players that get a living out of the game for the academy, because these players have real top tier attitudes and mentalities, really mentally strong. And I think you saw that tonight. They all responded in different ways. I think Tammy was the standout, but I think there's positives to take for all three of them. And I think it looks like, hopefully, they're going to have, you know, they're going to be a big part of the squad this season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the attitude is key. One player's attitude, which has never really been in doubt. And he did come on tonight, and he got his goal. Grant was Olivier Giroud. I think there has to be an element of sympathy with Giroud, who has ultimately played a critical role in securing Champions League football for Lampard, taking Chelsea to the brink of a trophy in his first season back, and all of a sudden he finds himself relegated to third choice again. I'm sure it won't be too long before he reminds everybody of his capabilities, his potential just to come in at a click of a finger and score goals against the right sort of opponents. But in terms of his ranking in the squad, how do you see his future? Obviously happy to come on and score tonight, but will he get enough game time given Tammy looked absolutely electric tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Giroud last season after the restart, I think in the last 13 league games, he started 10, scored in 8 of those 10 starts. He must be pretty gutted to not be featuring a lot in the Premier League or at all in the Premier League so far. I think we'll get a good idea this weekend, because it does look like Pulisic and Ziyech will be fit enough to be in the squad, at least one of them. And with the bench composition, it could be a situation where we only have one striker on the bench. If we're starting Verne up front, for example, I'm sure we'll get to what the side is. But if there's only one real number nine on the bench, Giroud might find himself out of the squad. And that seems to be the catalyst for players often, you know, really agitating for something, for a move, because of the fact that we had 9 substitutes and 5 to come on after the restart. It was a lot easier to keep everyone ticking over and happy just with short runouts. Even Callum, to an extent, he got a few 10 minutes, 15 minutes appearances. And I think this weekend, if Giroud's not in the squad, he might just start thinking about things. The international break, I don't know, when does that start? After this weekend? We have one, or is it one more week? Things about international break, I think the transfer window is around the international break, and possibly if he has some talks with Deschamps on the international break, and he said, you know, look, you need to be playing, what are your prospects, etc. Maybe that could provoke a move. I do worry about his chances of game time. I obviously was worried about Tammy playing, and he played so well tonight, really took his chance, looked really hungry. He linked up really well with Havertz, which is promising, because if Werner plays on the left and Havertz 10, Tammy's the ideal front man, you know, vacating space for the two of them with his movement. So I think Giroud is going to struggle for game time, whether he stays, if he does stay, and then in January he's probably going to have to move on. Whether that's the right call or not, it's hard to say, but I think he's probably somewhere sort of third and a half choice for the number nine spot. That's not going to lead to enough minutes for him.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's tricky at the moment, but we've said before with the arrival of Werner, it will be exciting to see whether he can thrive in a two-man attack. We saw him at Leipzig, just the way that he worked off Poulsen at times, and I think we were excited to see whether Giroud could offer a similar platform. In terms of whether Tammy can come in and sort of play together with Werner, I think that definitely has a lot of potential with the way that Tammy operated tonight, using his body, rolling his man. You saw that for the first goal. Spatial awareness was absolutely excellent. The dummy for Havertz, the way that he's always been able to sort of shift the ball around corners and manipulate the ball, 2-3 yard little passes into space, and the on-rushing midfielders, particularly Mason Mount, can have a lot of joy when working off a fully fit and motivated Abraham. In terms of working alongside Werner, who we would like to see in a two, just because at some point, because of how effective he was for Leipzig at times up there with Poulsen. I think Abraham definitely can play that role, but Giroud maybe has even more potential to bring out the best in Werner. If you look at Ziyech and Pulisic coming back into the fold, how do you see not just those two coming in, but Werner and Abraham? Is there a way that Lampard can fit them all in well, in terms of if you shift Werner ever so slightly left, then where does Pulisic fit in? Or is he so important to Lampard based off last year that he will just have to come in on that left side and almost be the first name of the team sheet?
Well, Tammy's going to have a chance, you would say, now at the weekend. You know, I think, and it will take Pulisic a bit of time to regain his fitness, so he'll be behind. It's not possible to get them all in. I mean, you can't get Havertz, Pulisic, Ziyech, Tammy, Werner all in the team, really. It's just not possible in terms of balance. So one of them's got to miss out. And Mount, who I think, like we said, is probably going to play a lot. So it's competition for places. I don't think Werner is going to be used wide much at all. I think he's competing with Tammy. I think on the odd occasion, well, hopefully it's the odd occasion that Pulisic is out, I think then Werner is the natural choice to probably go wide and kind of give you that quite a lot of what Pulisic can give you from that position, a goal threat, getting into the box, running into space that the centre forward vacates. So I think that might be how we line up at the weekend. I think Werner might play from the left, and Tammy will keep his place, I think. I mean, even we're talking about players that we think are definitely going to be here, but there's obviously loads of players that I think still need to depart. We should probably spend a few minutes talking about Tony Rüdiger, who I think has sort of ranged from either being sort of a key player under Lampard, and now it's sort of he seems like he's kind of on the way out, which I think shocked everyone, really. Been a few reports about his attitude since he's returned this season, and I do find it strange. I mean, I thought that Lampard was kind of putting a lot of emphasis on him being a leader and a voice in the dressing room when he was coming back from that injury last season. But, you know, I think maybe they think that there's a market for Rüdiger. One of them needs to go. I think the club are obviously very keen on Tomori, and Frank appears to be keen on Tomori, despite obviously not playing him a lot towards the end of last season and in the restart. some of that may be to do with sort of fitness and injury issues. So I think obviously Christensen being homegrown, I think that maybe influences things as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I think Rüdiger, it's strange. I thought the season with Sarri, I thought he was very good. And I thought he was good in his first season, really, under Conte. I think he's probably better suited to playing in a back three. I think part of the reason why Conte signed him was to play in a back three, where he did for Roma, obviously, and did really well. And then last season, he came back in off of a bad injury and just could never really rediscover that form. Like all the other centre-backs, he was sort of, his form was very inconsistent. But he did have some good games. I still think Rüdiger, in the right system and the right team, is still a very good defender. You know, he's a modern defender in a lot of ways. He defends the big spaces really well. On his day, he's good on the ball. And he's aggressive, he's quick. So I don't think there'll be a shortage of takers. You know, potentially not on a permanent move, but I think there'll be lots of teams in Italy that will want to take him on loan with a view to buying him.
Yeah, I think there'll be no shortage of options. Grant, in terms of Rüdiger's departure, does Chelsea's quartet of centre-backs, does it lose something without his presence in terms of just how important he was to the arrivals of Havertz and Werner? It seemed like he'd really blend the dressing room together, but it seems like that won't be the case.
Yeah, I think that was partly the hope, that with these two Germans there, he'd recapture his form, because he did struggle badly last season. The one thing he brings is that he's very comfortable playing on the left of a back three. But I think with Tomori staying, that he can play that role at least, even if he is probably the only defender who's comfortable doing that. But that's good for his chances of game time in any games we do play three at the back, probably a lot less than last season. I think the thing with Rüdiger is something's clearly gone on, because even the Brighton preseason friendly, he didn't play. Clark Salter started, he came on at half-time, gave away a penalty. I just wonder if he's trained very badly or something's happened, but it is quite strange. You'd think he'd be really motivated, excited to play at the German teammates. Lampard clearly valued his personality last season. Maybe with Thiago Silva coming in, he feels like he doesn't need that, so he can judge him more, you know, more just on his performances. And he really didn't perform well overall last season. And my doubts from the start were always that he's more of a back three defender. And under Conte, he was good. You know, I mentioned before, he had a run of 7 clean sheets in a row, 7 starts, 7 clean sheets around December in that first season. And he was good under Sarri, so albeit in a back four. But the fact is that I don't think many of us are, like, you know, crying ourselves to sleep at night about him. We might like him as a player, but we have enough depth, and I think most of us can see the potential of Tomori, that if the choice comes to between those two, it's not such a difficult choice to, you know, to take the younger player with maybe the highest ceiling for future performances, because Rüdiger's obviously had his 2 ACL injuries in his career. He seems to have lost a bit of that explosive speed after he came back last season. So it does look like he'll go. PSG are linked now. He's been linked with Napoli, I saw as well. If Koulibaly were to go, maybe he'd be a good replacement there. And they'd have some money to spend if they sold Koulibaly, so maybe we could get a permanent deal. I'm not crying any tears, but I do feel like he got slightly a rough deal from the fans, but I'm very happy with Tomori to be staying in the squad.
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well. Throwing it forward quickly to the weekend, West Brom away. It's a team that has struggled already to on their return to the Premier League. Heavy defeat to Leicester and Everton, and they lost on penalties this week to Brentford in the cup. And it's a side that Bilic sets up with the three at the back. Do you think that might influence Frank Lampard, Will, in terms of how he sets up? Because it does seem like the threat will come from the wide channels with this West Brom team, in terms of Pereira and Furlong, and then Diangana and Gibbs. Oh, it won't be Gibbs because of his red card, but in terms of that wide threat doubling up in the three at the back, that could be where they have some joy. But if Lampard's able to sort of match them up, then you'd assume that the quality would take over eventually. Or do you see him as, even though it's an away game, this is a team where he should just impose himself, plan A, pick his best team at the moment and move forward with that?
Yeah, I mean, they've played like a 5-4-1 in the first two games, and they've conceded 8 goals. So, you know, that more conservative approach, which I don't think they really played last season in the Championship, obviously, because they were nearer the top of the league. I think they mostly played a 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3 last season. So that more conservative approach has not worked. I think they went back to a back four in the League Cup last night. So I don't know, maybe Bilic will try something a little bit different. I think, yeah, the threat will be, you know, they're obviously, regardless of what system they play, I think they're probably going to try and sit in a kind of more compact kind of medium to low block and try and hit us on the break. I think they've been playing with Diangana, Pereira, and I think it's Robinson, who's naturally a winger anyway. So, you know, he's trying to play on the break and you know, hit it into the spaces. So I think we've got to be aware of that. Obviously, Kante, I think, will come into the side. I think the question mark for me in midfield, I think we'll see a similar system to what we saw tonight, but it will be whether it's Kovacic or Barkley next to Kante. I personally think he will probably go for Kovacic and have Kante playing that kind of shuttling role. I don't particularly like that. And I think, to be honest, against West Brom, I think it might be worth picking Barkley if they're potentially going to kind of play quite deep and you need someone to kind of get in the half spaces, get in and around the box, get in the box and have a bit more of a goal threat. And you can just put Kante as the sort of sole holding midfielder, a little bit like how we played after restart, more of a 4-3-3. Whereas I think what Frank will do is play that more kind of 4-2-3-1, but with one player kind of shuttling up and down, which I don't really like that. I don't really think it works. I think it doesn't do our kind of lack of balance any favours. But I think that's what he'll do. So I think he'll play, be interesting to see if the keeper plays, the keeper straight in. I think tomorrow he's having a COVID test, isn't he, to see whether he can play. But assuming that goes well, I think he's straight in. I think then it's James. I think it will be Tomori and Zuma. I don't think Thiago will play just off the back of, 70, 80 minutes against Barnsley. And I think we've got to probably be a little bit wary of their pace. I think Tomori gets another chance, Zuma. And I think Alonso probably comes back in. Chilwell's not quite ready. And then I think it'll be Kovacic, Kante, Havertz, Werner for playing from the left, Mount on the right. And I think Tammy more than deserves his chance up front. I think that'll be what Frank goes with. It's not necessarily what I go with, but I think that's probably what he'll lean towards.
Yeah, so I think that all sounds pretty interesting. Hopefully Mendy's fit, or not fit, available. And if not, Caballero certainly performed well tonight to continue the team. Grant, a special mention maybe for a Chelsea legend in Branislav Ivanovic coming up against his former team. But anything more to add on that game?
Yeah, Ivanovic played an hour in midweek, so I guess he will probably start this game. Kieran Gibbs suspended after that red card he got last weekend. Obviously, Conor Gallagher can't play against us as his parent club after making his debut midweek. They played a back four in midweek, so maybe they stick with that. It hasn't really worked playing with this five at the back. I think Will's probably pretty close on the lineup. Left back is a slightly strange one. I have a feeling that Alonso may soon sort of find himself vanishing, just because I think when Shaw's fit, he's going to play the majority of games. But I think if you have James and Azpilicueta as well, to have those three rotating in the two spots with SP switching sides occasionally, I think that's a good way to ensure everyone gets the game time. And I think Alonso might, maybe even from this weekend, find himself out of the picture. Maybe Chilwell on the bench and Aspi at left back. And then I think it's Kovacic or Jorginho probably in front of the back four. And it'll be great to see Tammy start. He hasn't played a lot in the Premier League lately. He had obviously that 10-game run without a goal. He started five of those games on the bench for five. But he came into a bit of form at the end of the season. He got that goal against Bayern. Scored against Palace and Liverpool as a sub. His first goals of the season as a sub. But so I think he's in quite decent shape. And yeah, Vern on the left. If they do play a back three, Vern on the left is really ideal, breaking behind the wing back. But either way, I think I'd go with him wide. Havertz as a 10. I mean, well, it's Havertz, 3 games, 3 positions now. Maybe you'll play on the left this weekend and you'll complete all 4. Yeah, it's a must-win game because of partly of how they've started. I think it's just, it looks really bad. It's obviously a bad result not to win anyway, but I think with their form, if we didn't pick up 3 points, I think there'd be question marks. So you just got to get a win. And I'd like to see some, you know, style and identity, as we mentioned. But Lampard made good points about the very short preseason, 2 week longer season we had, players in quarantine, all the new signings. So I'll take pretty much any win that we play. You know, we play reasonably well, I'll take any win. Yeah, that sums it up for me.
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. We look forward to sort of analysing that game and going into a little bit of detail. It is a crucial game because of the loss to Liverpool and the need to sort of keep pace early on. You look at the games following Crystal Palace and Southampton at home. Yes, get opportunities to take 4 points, but they're quite dangerous opponents away from home and have been for about a year or so. So especially in this early phase for Lampard with all these new players simulating, I think you could see some teething issues and maybe a little surprise in one of those two. So yeah, certainly got to get the win against West Brom. And hopefully he just learns a little bit more about the shape and the personnel. And certainly by next Monday, you're going to see, or a week Monday, you're going to see a couple of players leaving in that squad being stripped down a little bit, which should help everybody. But I think that sums it up. Good performance and result against Barnsley and set up nicely for West Brom. We'll be back next week to review the game against West Brom. If you could follow us on Twitter at PalpablePod, that would be very much appreciated. And likewise, just to help the show get a bit more visibility on Apple, if you could leave us a 5-star review and a comment, that would also be appreciated. Any questions, fire them in. And we'll look forward to speaking to you guys next week. Will and Grant, and onwards and upwards. I've been Jack Rathbone. Thank you for listening.